This is a Triple J podcast.
Some people, they're HIV positive, but they don't know it because even potentially for a few years, there can be no symptoms at all.
Hello, Dee Salmon with you for the Hookup podcast, where we talk all things love, sex, dating and relationships. And can you believe, at least in the time frame I think that I've been working on this show, we haven't done... I'm going to have to fact check this, but I don't think we have done a whole episode dedicated to learning about PrEP and HIV. Now, research shows that STIs like syphilis, gonorrhea and chlamydia are on the rise in Australia. Sorry to our overseas friends, but this episode is going to be quite Australian-centric. But transmission of HIV is the opposite. It's gone down significantly over the last decade. And that's partly because of a drug called pre-exposure prophylaxis, or better known as PrEP. So Australia is actually aiming for complete elimination of HIV/AIDS by 2030. So just 4 years away, and apparently we're on the right track. In 2024, can you believe, there were only 757 HIV diagnoses recorded, and that is a 27% fall over the past 10 years. But there is still more to be done in the space to get it to zero. And while we associate HIV with queer homosexual relationships, there are some stats to show that it might be on the rise in heterosexual couples, which is causing people to think about whether PrEP is something, you know, heterosexual people need to consider taking in their sex lives. And so we thought we'd dedicate an episode chatting about PrEP and HIV because, yeah, we haven't really covered it before. So you're about to hear from Professor Andrew Grulick. He is the head of the HIV Epidemiology and Prevention Program at the Kirby Institute at UNSW. Let's get into it. Professor Andrew, thank you so much for coming on The Hookup.
Thanks for having me, Dee.
Okay, this is a really, really huge conversation. And I was saying to you before we clicked record, I don't know if The Hookup's ever properly covered it, at least not for the years that I've been working on this show. So I'm really keen to get into this and unpack it for anyone who's ever wondered what exactly PrEP is, how it works, who should be using it, and you know where we're at when it comes to rates of HIV. So let's start with the basics and do a bit of a mini history lesson, I guess. Mm-hmm. Can you talk us through what HIV is and in relation to what that means when we think about AIDS? I think that's when we normally associate HIV, you know, the epidemic that happened in the 80s. Yeah, do you want to talk us through a little bit of the basics?
Sure. So HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, it was really the highest profile pandemic, so global epidemic of the second half of the 20th century. And people who are a little bit older than the average Triple J listenership will have been very, very aware of this. It was incredibly high profile in the 1980s in particular. So it's a virus, and it's a virus which, like a lot of these pandemic viruses, crossed from an animal. It crossed from chimpanzees. It probably crossed in Central Africa in the early 1970s during hunting for chimpanzees, because chimpanzees are actually eaten by some societies. So probably somebody cut themselves, chimpanzee blood, and whoa, you've got cross-species transmission, and that's where it all began. So the virus attacks the immune system, and without treatment, over about 10 years, it completely destroys the immune system. And so a person gets what's called AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which is basically the fact that they can't fight off the everyday infections that everybody gets, and those infections eventually kill them. So on average, it's about 10 or 12 years in the absence of treatment between infection and death due to AIDS.
How is it transmitted usually? Like, obviously in that experience from animal to human cross-contamination, how is it transferred human to human?
So globally, by far, the main mode of transmission is sexual transmission. It's transmitted in bodily fluids. So it can be transmitted in either heterosexual sex or in gay sex. And in fact, the transmission into the rectum is much higher risk than into the vagina. And that's one of the reasons why gay men have been so heavily affected by this virus. But globally, the majority of infections are actually in heterosexual transmission, and particularly in Africa. We do have to also be aware that injecting drug use can lead to transmission, and that has been a big feature of the epidemic over the years due to contamination of needles which are shared. And it can also be transmitted from mother to child, so both inside the womb during birth and also through breast milk.
like we were kind of saying, it is generally associated with the crisis in the 80s where thousands of people passed away and it was huge and no one really knew as it was happening how to deal with it. Fast forward to today though, millions of people, like you said, around the world do live with AIDS and are HIV positive, but they're alive and thriving and the numbers of the diagnoses have gone down dramatically. So how did we turn it around?
Yes, so there have been amazing advances both in treatment and in prevention. So firstly, treatment. Over the last 20 plus years, the treatments for HIV have got better and better. And that's because of the investment of literally billions and billions of dollars in research over the decades. So now, for the great majority of people with HIV, they take one pill once a day, which is a combination of medications, and that keeps their HIV virus from replicating inside their body. It's not a cure because they have to keep taking their pills. But as long as they take their pills every day, they live an almost normal lifespan, which is just fantastic, of course. So that's the advances in treatment. Prevention, it is important to note that we had early responses which were behavioural, which were pretty successful, but not completely successful. And so that's condom use to prevent transmission. And by the mid to late 1980s, gay men used condoms almost universally, actually much more frequently than heterosexual people did. And also the really important thing, this was critical in Australia, was needles and syringes, clean needles and syringes for injecting drug users, because that prevents transmission. It was deeply, deeply controversial at the time because injecting drug use is illegal. But by introducing that early, we largely prevented the spread of HIV into the heterosexual population. And that did not happen in places like the US of A, which could not face allowing needle and syringe programs. And they had a massive heterosexual epidemic because of that. And now we have PrEP.
Yeah, let's chat about this amazing medicine, Andrew. What is PrEP exactly?
Okay, so PrEP's an acronym. It stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis, PrEP against HIV. And it's essentially a reduced combination of the drugs that we use to treat HIV. Similar drugs, but just fewer of them, crammed into a single pill. And it is taken before exposure to HIV. The idea is that by taking it into your mouth, the drug then spreads through the body and most particularly spreads to the sites where you're exposed to HIV. So in a gay man, that might be in the rectum. In a heterosexual woman, that will be the vagina. And the drug being present at that site stops the virus replicating when it first enters the body during sex, and by doing that prevents transmission. And if taken regularly and continually once a day, it is basically 100% effective.
So I have a few friends that are on it, and for them it's more of just like a safety thing, right? Like it's not necessarily that they know that they'll be sleeping with someone who has HIV. It's more of just like a way to protect themselves if they're having casual sex. Would you say that's quite a common practice?
That's a very common practice, particularly in gay men. And the reason why it's common in gay men is because the prevalence of HIV is much higher in gay men than it is in the rest of our society. So 3/4 of infections in Australia continue to happen in gay men. And gay men, of course, are something like 2 or 3% of the male population, 75% of all infections. So you can imagine the amount of HIV is much higher. And so many gay men absolutely take it as a form of reassurance. They take that regular dose of PrEP because it takes the fear out of sex for many of them. Certainly gay men of my generation, sex was anxiety-provoking and fearful because you were worried about HIV. So one of the really positive side effects, if you like, of PrEP that we've noticed is that gay men's anxiety levels have gone down.
Absolutely. That's what I hear from my friends as well. So when was it first introduced in Australia and what has been the outcome so far?
Sure. So it's 10 years ago that it was first introduced in Australia, and that was in a couple of big studies in the state of New South Wales and Victoria. And then 2018, because of the great success of those early studies, it was funded by the federal government. And so since then, it's been available through any doctor in Australia if you've got a Medicare card. And even actually now, if you're overseas born and do not have a Medicare card, it's so important that we prevent transmission that the government funds it for that population as well, which is a great advance. The data show that about 100,000 people have tried PrEP in Australia, and about 50,000 of them are taken in any one year. And in gay men overall, we've seen a decline of about 30-40% in infections due to PrEP.
Do you think the effect, like why it's been so effective, Andrew, has come from the education piece of it all? The fact that like we have heard so much about it. Why do you think it has been so effective?
Yeah, the education has been a critical component. You know, 10 years ago, the thought of the majority of gay men at risk taking a pill a day for this, it seemed foreign. But, you know, the evidence was there, and the community, the LGBT community organisations could really see the potential of this in Australia. So they made it a major focus of what they do in terms of raising consciousness in the community and educating. And, you know, if you were going to some of the major LGBT festivals around Australia, and really any time over the last decade, you will see posters telling people about PrEP with very simple message, like it's the once a day pill that stops you getting HIV. Although most younger gay men now probably think it's been around forever, but that was truly revolutionary when it was introduced.
Yeah, the fact that I had no idea it was 2018, but that just feels so recent, right?
Like
it's amazing to see how effective it's been in such a short period of time. Say you're going to start taking it for the first time, maybe you're just starting to have sex, or for whatever reason, what does that journey or process look like?
Sure. So the first step is to see a doctor. You need to be tested for HIV to just check that you're HIV negative, and the doctor will ask you some questions, take at least a brief sexual history, because, you know, we don't want the entire population to be taking PrEP. it should be taken by people who are at least at some risk of HIV. So people who are having new partners and they're not always using condoms with those new partners. Now, I will say that knowledge of PrEP amongst general practitioners around Australia is still a bit uneven. It's, if you're near the centre of any of our big cities, the GPs will be completely on top of this. They'll know about it. They'll know how simple it is. But that the further you get from the centres of the cities, it can be difficult to find a doctor who's willing to prescribe it and knows enough about it. I would give a small plug for online services which are now available, which enable you to get PrEP through telehealth. So if people simply Google PrEP availability or something simple about how do I get PrEP, you will quickly find these sites which hook you up by phone with a doctor. You get the sexual history over the phone. They can write you a script. They'll also write you a pathology request. So you pop down to your local blood collection centre, which are all over our cities, for an HIV test, and then you're on it.
How important is when you take it? Because is it like the contraceptive pill, which is, you know, my only experience of ever having taken a pill a day? But if you leave it too long with the pill or you forget it, that puts you at risk. Is it a similar kind of situation with PrEP as well?
So here I'm afraid it gets a little complicated. For gay and bisexual men, the really good news is that once a day is more, actually slightly more than you need. If you miss a couple of doses a week, you're fine, as long as you're taking at least five or so doses a week. Women, unfortunately, the amount of drug required to protect the vagina seems to be higher, so daily adherence is necessary. But then many women are used to taking a daily pill to control their fertility. And if they can link those two things, then they will be perfectly protected. It's also worth me talking about another type of taking PrEP, which many gay men use. And this is only for males, because this form of PrEP, which is called on-demand PrEP. So the concept is you don't need to take PrEP every day when you're not having new sexual partners. You only need to have it around those times of your life when you're having new sexual partners. And so on-demand PrEP is a combination of four PrEP pills, two of them taken at least 2 hours before the sexual event, which people are concerned about, and then one for the next 2 days, so four pills. The reason it doesn't work for women is the drug levels don't get high enough in the vagina. But so many gay men use that approach because they might only be at risk of HIV several times a year, and that's a much more attractive approach than taking PrEP every single day of their lives.
Yeah, that makes so much more sense. Mm. Are there any side effects?
Like any medication, PrEP is not completely side effect free, but it is a very safe drug. I will say that quite a few people, the first time they take it, will experience a bit of a gastric upset. They might feel a bit bloated, they might feel a little bit nauseous. What we do find is that people who can keep taking it over several days, a week or so, those symptoms usually go away. Their body gets used to it, if you like. And most people don't get that symptom at all. There is one slightly more serious side effect that can happen in people who have prior kidney problems. And that's why the doctor will always do a blood test for your kidney function before he or she puts you on PrEP. It's not common, particularly in young people. You know, kidney issues are pretty uncommon in young people. And there is an alternative medication for those people with kidney problems. So we can get around that problem when it presents itself.
Yeah, I was going to say, are there any types of people who might not be able to take PrEP, or is it pretty safe for everyone?
Apart from what I've just said about people with kidney issues, it really is pretty safe for everyone. But it does, of course, require people to be able to take their medication regularly. I would say, looking into the future now, there's some really exciting developments heading our way where pretty soon we may have 6-monthly injectable PrEP. So you only need to visit a doctor twice a year for an injection to get complete protection. But we don't have that in Australia yet.
Amazing. That's really exciting. Some people get it confused with another medication called PEP. What's that exactly?
Yeah, another acronym.
Yeah, they're always acronyms.
Always. So PEP stands for post-exposure prophylaxis. So as it sounds, it's not for before sex, it's after sex. And we had this earlier, but it's been around probably almost 30 years now. And essentially, it's a full dose of anti-HIV medications taken within 72 hours of an exposure that might have led to transmission. But the shorter the better. You know, if you can get it within 6 or 24 hours, that's even better. And it needs to be taken for a full 4 weeks. But it does effectively prevent HIV transmission if taken early.
That's good to know, I guess. And like it sounds pretty heavy to say, but I think for rape or sexual assault victims, that's probably a really important drug.
It absolutely is. And it is used in that setting. And, you know, even more generally, it's a good fallback position if people forget their PrEP or they're not on PrEP yet. There is still something available. And a good place to go for that at, you know, 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or whenever it is can be hospital emergency departments, because they have the drug there. They're quite used to this presentation of people trying to get onto PrEP really urgently. So that's worth keeping in mind.
Yeah, incredible. Well, Pip and I saw a really interesting Instagram post recently, Andrew. I think it was via the News Movement that said 1 in 5 people living with HIV are women, but women account for just 8% of PrEP users. And another stat that we saw was, according to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, about 22% of new HIV diagnoses in 2022 were among people reporting heterosexual contact. While these stats are from the US, it did get us thinking about Australia and whether this is an issue that we should be talking about here. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so we do see heterosexual transmission in Australia, not as commonly as the US, but now it's about 1/4 of all transmissions in Australia are in the heterosexual setting. And women absolutely can be prescribed PrEP. Like in the US data you quote, the great majority of prescriptions in Australia have been for men thus far. So the issue is, of course, that HIV is much less common in the heterosexual population than it is in gay and bisexual men. And so you don't necessarily want men, heterosexual men and women, using PrEP very commonly. But for people who are having new partners and who are not able to use condoms, it absolutely is an option. The guidelines around PrEP use are quite clear that it can be. I think some people might find it a useful intervention when they're going on holidays, where they think they might be having a number of new partners and wondering about their ability to use condoms all the time. It's something that people should keep in mind. I would say that we do hear from some women that it can be more difficult to convince a doctor to give you PrEP, but the guidelines state very clearly that women at risk should be prescribed PrEP.
Who are women at risk?
Yeah, so I suppose it's people with more sexual partners. It's people who less often use condoms. Also in situations where you're traveling in places where HIV is more common. So parts of Southeast Asia, certainly parts of sub-Saharan Africa. But really, for women who are having partners without using condoms, then it is an intervention. I should say, and it's really important that we do remember that condoms work incredibly well to prevent HIV. And for women in particular, that of course, they do prevent gonorrhea and chlamydia as well. And chlamydia, both of those can cause later fertility problems. So, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why people, but women in particular, would want to use condoms. But when that's not possible, PrEP is the way to protect yourself against HIV.
Yeah. Would you say that in heterosexual sex and couples that women are more likely to contract HIV based on just the act of penis into vagina and it being transferred that way rather than like the people with the penis in that situation more likely to contract? Does that make sense? Is that a dumb question?
It does make sense. No. It gets asked a lot. But in fact, the data are that it's pretty equal both ways. I can see why you're thinking that it feels like it should be higher risk because the semen is left behind in the vagina. But actually, the risk is relatively similar. In Australia, we see about 100 heterosexual men and 100 heterosexual women acquiring HIV every year. So both genders can get protection in this way.
This might be another dumb question as well, but if you are sleeping with someone who you know has HIV, but they're taking immunodepressant medication, is it then still worth you being on PrEP?
I think you probably mean anti-HIV medication.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So if they're taking HIV medication, the goal of that, the goal of that between the patient and their doctor is to get their blood levels of HIV undetectable. And that means the tests, unless you go and do exquisitely sensitive laboratory tests, you can't detect HIV in the blood, and that person actually cannot transmit HIV. So the question, though, of whether the HIV negative person wants to protect themselves, I think that's almost a philosophical question. If they're having new sexual partners who they've never met before, does a person actually want to believe everything that person tells them? Yeah, or do they just want to be better safe than sorry and be on PrEP?
This might be another dumb question, but no. If someone has HIV, why wouldn't they be on HIV medication?
Yeah, that's a great question. In Australia, the only group of people with HIV who are not on medication have not yet been diagnosed with HIV, because once you've been diagnosed, you should be on treatment straight away. It makes people feel better. It stops progression of the disease. But some people have not yet had that HIV test, so they're HIV positive, but they don't know it, because early in the course of HIV disease, even potentially for a few years, there can be no symptoms at all of HIV. So that person living with HIV has not yet been diagnosed with HIV. That's the main situation where in Australia where we'll find a person with HIV who has detectable viral load.
That makes so much sense. In a similar way, I guess, to herpes, right? How some people can have herpes their whole life and never know.
Absolutely. You know, HIV becomes deeply symptomatic later in the course, and in some people can be symptomatic early, but in many people for several years has no symptoms.
This has been so fascinating, Andrew. Just lastly, for people who want to find out more information or chat to their GP potentially, where would you recommend they get that info?
Sure. So I think around Australia, the State and Territory AIDS Councils are a great source of information. That's ACON in New South Wales, Thorn Harbour Health in Victoria, in each of the other states and territories has one. And I'd really recommend those organisations or the local LGBT organisations for more information.
Yeah. And PrEP, just to clarify, is completely covered by Medicare.
It's completely covered by Medicare. So, you know, if you have a job, it will cost you about $20 a month. If you do not have a job, and you, it will cost you less than $5 a month these days. So it's affordable. It's way less than a cup of coffee a day. So please don't let the cost scare you away. And I really do want to highlight the fact that even overseas-born people who do not have a Medicare card, they can visit a sexual health centre in our major cities across Australia, where they'll get free clinical care for HIV and sexually transmitted infections, and they can get free PrEP.
Amazing. And yeah, we do have a bunch of listeners that are overseas and listen to the Hookup podcast. So I'm sure there's similar resources in the country that you live in. But we'll put a bunch of the things that you've recommended in our show notes as well for people to click through and have a look. But this has been so fascinating and very long overdue. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Dee. I hope that's been useful. And, you know, people need to realize HIV isn't what it used to be. It's been revolutionized by things like PrEP. So don't worry about it. You can protect yourself against it.